Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I wouldn't normally start a meditation by asking a personal question, but we'll ask it anyway and ask really for even a show of hands. I would like to know this morning how many in the audience here are adopted. Okay. Now one could say that was a trick question, or perhaps it was a test question in terms of how many of you are actually listening to the scripture reading. Unfair, right? Unfair. But I would like to make a comparison between what you thought I was asking and what I was really asking. Some of you are indeed adopted. I know from having some of you in class that you have adopted children. And so I know that many of you, either professionally or professionally, are aware of the adoption process. And one of the things that has become very evident within the adoption process is that it is an expensive process. It is no longer just, oh, there's an orphan child out there, we'll take him into our home and adopt him. But I've asked some of you who recently have come through the process, and it is not untold at all for some of you to tell me that it costs $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 or more, and if you get into foreign adoptions, considerably more than that. And I would point out to you this morning that as we think about our adoption, it indeed cost our Heavenly Father considerably more than that, in that he paid for us with his own dear son. But I would like to make another point of comparison this morning, and that's because adoption, and I don't know how many of you are reading or into what that means these days. We talk about open adoptions and adoptions in which birth mothers keep contact with adopted children and with the adopting parents, and we now have searches and groups that find birth mothers and the whole thing. And it seems that for some reason, because it has been constructed or construed or ideas imposed or whatever it might be, that there are at least some adopted children who go through an identity crisis. Somehow they need to know. But one thing that is not true of is our adoption. There is no identity crisis. We know what our natural birth was all about. We were born into the flesh. And from that flesh we would have reaped corruption and devastation and death. But we know who the adopter is, none other than our own Heavenly Father. And so we look at this passage from Romans, and it is a tremendously comforting passage with a tinge of admonition. But it's in that great eighth chapter of Romans which talks about life in the Spirit. Who we really are. Starts already in chapter 6, does it not, when it tells us what we have become by our baptisms and how closely we have indeed been identified with our Lord Jesus Christ, including in his death and in his resurrection. It is in and through Christ, whose redemption is indeed imparted to us by the Spirit, that we are then brought into this intimate, intimate relationship with God. He is Father. We are adopted children. And you know, we listen to texts like this so often. And this is not a put down for you. I'll put myself out there. I've heard this text repeatedly sitting in the pew, and it so easily just comes in the ear, kind of filters through the mind quickly, and leaves without my paying much attention to what does this really mean? That I am an adopted son of God the Father. By faith, Galatians 3, by faith, I have become a member of the true family of God, a child of Abraham. And I have this confidence because of that Spirit who is constantly leading in the way of righteousness. And our text points out that this is such a wonderfully pleasant relationship. We can spend all kinds of times linguistically on Abba Father without ever coming to grips with the meaning of Abba Father. Father. The Spirit teaches us to accept Father in that simple childlike faith that Scripture is so prone to hold out to us as exemplary. It's an indubitable witness. The proof is there. The certainty is there. And let those words ring in our ears. We are the children of God. It's a conviction that is wrought by the Spirit Himself. Independent of our feelings or our state of mind at any given time. Spirit wrought, certainty, reliability, we are the children of God. You might say to me, and as I've said to myself, why don't I always feel that way? Because Satan and our flesh would constantly draw us back into another kind of relationship. A relationship, as our text describes it, into a fear relationship. Fear. Fear of anger. Fear of punishment. Satan would love to keep us in that position. It immobilizes. It cripples. And we know it's the natural thing of the man and the woman. Every natural religion, look at them. They're fear wrought, punishment wrought, always trying to satisfy the gods. And it has even crept into Christian religions, has it not? That element of, well, you can't quite be sure. Just a tinge of fear. We are the children of God that can say, Abba, Father. And along with being children, as our text says, comes the whole idea of inheritance. If children, then heirs. Heirs of eternal life, the bliss of heaven is absolutely assured us. No probate necessary, ours. The peace that comes along with sonship and heirship is ours. That peace that goes beyond understanding. That hope that we have, that confidence that we have, is ours because of our heirship. And all the other gifts of the Spirit are ours because we are children and heirs. And our text adds a note of comfort. If indeed we share in his sufferings. Now that's an interesting if that's there. That's not kind of a conditionalist that if you suffer, then you get heaven. If you don't suffer, then tough luck. It's the if of inevitability. As Christians, we do suffer the cross with our Savior. That cross which is inevitable because we are Christians. But just as inevitable as the suffering is, that's just how inevitable the glory is. Because we're children. And the two really, Paul says elsewhere, is not even comparable. The sufferings of this present age are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed within us. And so our text is really saying to us, especially if we go back to verses, it's really saying to us, continue to live by the Spirit. Continue to live in the Spirit and the Spirit live in you. Putting to death the misdeeds of the body. Then you shall live indeed. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Verse immediately preceding our text. So let me ask the question again. And I really want a show of hands. How many of us are adopted? Thank God. All of us, and we can live in that joy and that comfort and that hope because we are God's children by adoption. Amen. And now may that peace of God that we have through our adoption keep our hearts and minds safe unto the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.